I'm going to call the February 14th,
2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call the roll.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Ms. Kundig?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Sino is here.
Have all members of the board had an opportunity to review the December 13th and January 10th meeting minutes? If so, I'll take a motion to approve.
You wanted approval on...
Let's do them separately. Motion approves the December 13th meeting minutes. Motion's been made.
Second.
And properly seconded. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Take a motion to approve the January 10th meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion's been made and properly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. At this time, we want to make way for any board members to disclose any ex parte communications. I would like to begin that with stating I received a phone call from case number 3. Dr. Long is my dentist, and I quickly directed him to contact the inspector or the inspector's supervisor and not the board chair. Any others?
Just for the record, anything you heard on that call is not going to affect the decision.
Oh, no. No. He didn't offer any free pullings. Or feelings.
He could hurt you though.
All righty. Any announcements?
We'd be out of order to wish all the ladies present a happy Valentine's Day.
And the men as well. Any announcements, Amy?
Oh, thank you. We do have a few cases that are in compliance that aren't listed on the agenda. Number 12, CEB 11-12-136 for 209 South Ridgewood Avenue is in compliance as of February 13th. Case number 14, CEB 01-13-07 for 220 Bill France Boulevard is in compliance also February 13th.
Is that 14?
Case number number 15, CEB 011309 for 2500 West International Speedway Boulevard was in compliance as of February 13th.
Excuse me, did you say 14 was in
compliance? No, 13. Yesterday they were in compliance.
14 and 15, Mr. Harrington, are in compliance both on 213.
Okay.
Actually, all the ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And number 16... Case number CEB 01-13-18 for 1350 Virginia Avenue is in compliance as of February 13th as well. And I believe that's it at this moment.
Yeah, my wife will be happy. She'll go back to bed. We have to be on now.
How about that? All righty. At this time, all staff who will be testifying today, please rise to be sworn in.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Members of the public that will be coming before us for cases today, we ask that you speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. When you come forward, you need to identify yourself, state your name, your address, and then be sworn in, and then you will be directed when to proceed. Are there any attorneys present this morning? All righty, we will proceed as... Oh, please silence all cell phones or put them on vibrate as to not to disturb our meeting this morning. At this time, we will proceed with our agenda as it is written. First is lien review number 1, property located at 1334 Shangri-La Drive. Ms. Rod and Azimina Osmanovic. And the new owner is James Hubler. Mr. Garcia.
Actually, just a correction on that. There was a quitclaim deed after I realized it, so there is another new owner. I think that it's the quitclaim deed's in your packet. And James Hubler, it's Eduardo Madri.
All right, it'll be in the record. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Good morning, board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This lien review that's before you is for 1334 Shangri-La Drive. As the board secretary has stated, it has switched hands. It's been quick claim deed to the new owner. The new owner has brought the property up into compliance. He's done it in a speedy fashion, so staff recommends that the fine be reduced to $1,500 to cover the administrative costs, time that the inspectors have gone out to do the inspections, and we request that the fine be payable within 30 days. If not, the fine reverts back to its original amount.
Okay. Is the new owner or... If you come forward, state your name and give your address, please, and be sworn in.
Good morning. My name is Ed Hafey. I'm 274 Laws Lane, Ormond Beach.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you can state your relationship to the owner, or are you the owner?
No, I'm not. I'm a real estate broker.
Okay.
And he's out of town, asked me to come in and meet with you fine
okay.
folks.
You can proceed.
Just as was stated, this owner received the property in a quitclaim deed. He wasn't even aware of this lien. But as soon as we got it, he fixed these items and also just put a new roof on the house that was permitted through the city. And he's hoping for lenience.
Staff has recommended a reduction down to $1,500. Any reply to that?
I have a check. He's prepared to pay.
That's going to pay the bill.
All righty. Any questions from the board?
Who's the check payable to?
All right.
Not you, Larry.
All righty. Staff has recommended a reduction of the fine to $1,500 payable within 30 days or reverts back to the original lien amount. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion has been made and properly seconded. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. All righty, we'll move on to lien review number two, Mr. Garcia. And this property is located at 176 North Beach Street, Burgoyne Properties and Coliseum.
If we could consolidate lien review number two and three, because it is the same property.
Okay. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Okay. You would come forward and be sworn in, identify yourself, give your address, and then we'll hear from Mr. Garcia, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
My name is William College. With
1 second.
Go ahead, say your name.
William College, Burgoyne Properties. My address is in Jacksonville, Florida.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And did you have his address?
If it's the business address, I do have it.
Okay.
The 1010 Adams?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let us hear from Mr. Garcia, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Okay, lien review number two is CEB 021210, 176 North Beach Street. The fine that was imposed were for advertising that was put out throughout the city. Both property owner and the tenant have been properly notified in the lien reduction application. The property owner claimed he never got properly served. We have the proof to show that they were served. And staff recommends that because this has been a problem property for a while, we don't want the lien to be reduced at all.
Yes, sir. You're able to respond at this time.
Absolutely. Let me just say that I personally was not involved with this. I'm recently new to this company. However, this was a former tenant of the property. We have a new tenant in the property right now. That tenant engaged a promoter to put out some signs for various events that they have. We diligently take down the signs around our property. My understanding was this was a sign that was placed in Midtown that we were unaware of at the time. That's my understanding. And we have continued to diligently, you know, take down any advertisements or signs that have been placed by a tenant's promoter. And so we're requesting lien reduction, you know, based on the fact that we do diligently take down these signs whenever we see them. My understanding was this was a sign far away from our property in the Midtown area, and so we request that the lien be removed.
Okay. Board, as you all know, Mr. Garcia requested that we combine 2 and 3 since they're on the same property, but let us also note that 2 was for the illegal signage and 3 is for the sprinkler items to be addressed. So at this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Newell to respond to those.
Well, I'd personally like to vote separately on each one. Okay.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and consider them separately then. You can come back up, sir, just in case there are any questions. Any questions from the members of the board with regards to lien review number 2? And again, this one was for the illegal signage. The total fine as it stands right now is $1,070.03. You're asking for a reduction. What is your request?
Our request would be that the lien is wiped out.
Completely?
Completely.
To the principal's office.
Is it your knowledge that your company received notice of this violation in February of 2012?
I cannot personally speak to that. I was not in a position at that time where I would have received notice. I'm recently come into the position that I am now. So I'm unable to tell you with absolute certainty, to my knowledge, that it was received or not received.
Can you tell me who Letitia Bell is?
She is right here. She just came in. So she could probably speak more appropriately to this particular matter.
Ms. Bell, if you could rise, state your name, give us your address and your position with the company.
Letitia Bell, 1010.
You can speak into the mic, please.
Letitia Bell, 1010 East Adams Corporation. Chief Operating Officer.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Bell. The question was directed to you from a board member. If you can respond, you can restate your question, please, Ms. Glendick.
I just wondered if you also received or your company received notification.
We are not aware of this particular notice.
But you've got notices in the past.
Yes, ma'am, we have.
Okay.
If I could be heard. Anthony Jackson, counsel for the city. I don't know if everyone have a packet. I believe they do. And what you can see in the packet is that there are numerous signs that are shown, not just a couple of signs in one area. And you may be reminded that the inspectors did bring forth numerous signs, and this had been a reoccurring problem. $1,000 is not a very large lien, and I think that's in the benefits of the business in putting those signs out, and even that advertising advantage. Though it wasn't the company, they had the property owners. The property owners did have a responsibility to ensure that that business was doing acting correctly in accordance with the laws and the codes of the city. And in this situation, they weren't, and that lack of or apparent lack of diligence. I think $1,000 is a reasonable fine, and that as Mr. Garcia has indicated, the position of the city is that the fine should not be reduced.
Tony, question. Our procedure is when a tenant is making a violation of code, you immediately notify them and the property owner?
Okay. Now, I'd have to speak with the inspectors in a manner which, but my best recollection and our normal process is yes. We do notify them. Immediately we notify the tenant because we go and we try to make personal contact. But, you know, always the owner isn't physically there, but they are notified by certified mail, return receipt, and I believe we have that record in this.
Both were notified, Mr. Harrington, just to confirm. It was post-dated 2/12/2010. Question I have is, who is Miss Amanda Moore?
She's a receptionist that used to be with our company.
Okay. But she was employed by your company on the 12th of February.
I believe so. She
okay.
was
Okay, she signed, so you all did receive it.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm okay. not disputing that it was received. I mean, administratively, I don't know that we actually physically received that notice.
Okay.
We typically get them, and I've personally spoken with Mr. Garcia and several of the other officers when we receive notices.
Okay. Considering your position with the company, I'll ask the same question I asked the gentleman earlier. His recommendation was to for zero fine. Do you have a counteroffer for the standing fine as it is that you would like the board to consider?
I would say we're appealing to obviously consider a reduction or no fee at all, but I would say $500. We would feel like it's fair. Again, the tenant is the non-compliant party. However, ultimately, we know it's attached to our property.
Any further questions from members of the board? All righty. Before us at this time is the request to reduce the fine or to leave the fine as is. Do I have a motion in either state?
Yes. Second.
Motion has been made and properly second to allow the fine to stand as is with a total owed of $1,070.03 payable when, Ms. Hines?
Within 30 days.
Hold on 1 second. There's an inquiry on Amy's face.
I didn't know if it would be just to deny the lien or either way it would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Motion has been made to deny the lien review and allow the fine to stand as is, payable within 30 days. Motion has been made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So that you know, the lien review has been denied. Your fine will stand as is and is payable within 30 days. At this time, we will transition right into lien review number 3. You've already been sworn in. We're just going to ask Mr. Garcia and Mr. Newell, well, actually Mr. Newell, to come back at this time to present lien review number 3, and then we'll ask you all to come back up.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Lien review number 3, CEB 11-12-133. 176 180 North Beach Street, Burgoyne Properties, and 180 Moon versus City of Daytona Beach. This is actually the new tenant that actually is currently there, I'm assuming still currently there now. Back, they were noticed last year for many violations. By the time they made it to you, the only issues that were left were a sprinkler system issues that resided as far as the 5-year internal inspection, which is the inner workings of the actual sprinkler system, has to be reviewed every 5 years to make sure that there's nothing inside there that would impede the progress of that sprinkler system while it's going off. Also, if you can remember, there was a key accessed room upstairs on the second floor that required just to remind everybody, initially on the first inspection, I wasn't able to get in there because they didn't know how to get into the room. Eventually, on a subsequent reinspection, I was able to get into the room, and that's where I found some of the other issues where some decorative decorations that were, I don't know, kind of plexi, I don't know, the decorations that were underneath some of the sprinkler heads, which needed to be removed, in addition to the fire alarm, wasn't a audio-visual notification in that room. Basically, it appeared it was used for the most part as a storage and was not utilized most of the day, at all. The other thing was we've had a lot of issues with the panic hardware on the rear back door. So those were what the violations were. At the November meeting, you gave 10 days to come in compliance. I had been working with a gentleman by the name of Joe, who is actually a representative of the Moon. So they were notified, and I actually hand-delivered the notification to Burgoyne Properties out on ISB at their other office. After that meeting in November, essentially contact did not happen, and so at the December meeting, you guys imposed the fine retroactively back to November 18th. Shortly thereafter, Burgoyne Properties contacted me when they got the notice of the lien that was being imposed, and shortly thereafter, they actually corrected the actual violations. the recommendation to reduce it basically in half from $4,749, just cut it in half. Most of these issues, like with the sprinkler system, were not going to impede much. You know, there was one or two sprinkler heads on that second floor, but the rest of those sprinkler issues would have not impeded the actual progress of the sprinkler system. If there would have been significant issues with the impedance of that, I would definitely not be asking for a little bit of a reduction.
So the recommendation, old math experts up here, Mr. Newell?
$2,124, roughly.
$2,124?
$2,124. Okay. Kind of hard with nine and a penny. So.
All righty. All right, at this time we'll hear from representatives from Bergeron Properties.
Okay, I can speak with knowledge of this particular case because I was involved with this case. We did receive the notice of both hearings at our office in Jacksonville, Florida. I have an email right here. Our tenant assured us that they would be at both hearings. They were at the first hearing. I have in writing that they were going to be at the second hearing to take care of this, and they did not show up at the second hearing. The moment that we were notified in our offices in Jacksonville that there was a continuously imposed fee of $100 a day, I can tell you that that date that we discovered that was right after Christmas, the week of the 24th to the 28th, either the 27th or the 28th was when we became aware that the fee had been imposed retroactively and they did not show up to the second hearing. From that moment, we worked very diligently with Mr. Newell to address the issues. We contracted a fire prevention company to install the upgraded hardware. We had a locksmith come and fix the panic hardware on the door, and that entire process took 5 days. By the 4th, we had corrected all of the issues, and Mr. Newell came out and cleared the property. So our recommendation would be certainly we feel responsible for the lien from the moment that we became aware of it to the moment that it was corrected, 5 days, from 5 or 6 days from the 27th to the 4th. Would be our recommendation.
Mr. Newell?
Just make a quick change. You know, I'm not a mathematician, but it's going to be $2,374.50. Just wanted to make that adjustment.
$2,374.50.
Mr. Newell?
Yes, ma'am.
The inspector comments, it says staff recommends fine to stay in place. All parties notified a violation. Can you explain why you think it should be reduced?
When staff gets together to discuss all of the cases that are being brought before you, I was not at that meeting because of other engagements, so I was unable to give my recommendations at that time, so that's probably why it says there was no recommendations. They just left it as is because they didn't know what my recommendations were at the time.
Are your recommendation to reduce now because of the compliance in 5 days, or you look like a change management, or what?
My recommendation is based upon the fact that as soon as they really knew about it, they took care of it pretty quickly, and there was basically, that's kind of my recommendation, that they took care of it once they finally got notice of the lien. I don't know if Tony might want to add to that. Once they got really notice of the lien, they took care of it quickly. I believe they were under the assumption that the tenant was taken care of, and I know they're responsible, responsible and made aware, but that's kind of the suggestion for the reduction.
Mr. Jackson, is that your...
I don't know if I really could add any more. You know, we look to Mr. Newell as our expert in the area. In speaking with him, I believe, and he'll, I'm sure, clarify that more if you need, but his position is that from a perspective of egregiousness, any time you have these types of violations, they're all very serious. And when fire is out there seeking to get compliance, they're seeking it with all diligence, and he did that. However, at the same time, he recognized that once it he had actual contact. And the unfortunate thing is this relationship didn't build until after the fine was imposed. But once he had actual contact with the owners, he saw that the owners indeed became, at that point, diligent. However, it wasn't until after a fine was already put in place. So he's taking into account and he's considering the fact that they did become diligent after the fine got in place, and so he's willing to reduce. Otherwise, because of the nature of these types of violations, this would be a violation probably that would be deemed severe, egregious, and something that would warrant the total fine that accrued. But again, I believe because of the diligence that they represent, and he's not challenging that, but it's just unfortunate that did not come until after a fine was imposed, which meant that it went for a period of time with leaving the risk, though relatively minimum, still leaving the risk that fire safety is left on a structure. Any more on that?
May I ask the Burgoyne resident, a respondent to come up, please? I have one more question. Do you still have the tenant in place that is that you claim is responsible for these repairs?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
But you did get notification sometime right after November the 4th on this violation?
Notification from the city?
Yes.
We received notification
November 18th, maybe.
We were aware of the second hearing, and I do have an email November 6th here from the tenant that claimed that they would be at the hearing and they would be responsible for taking care of it. So, yes, we were aware of it. But we also have a written statement from our tenant that said we will be sending a representative to the hearing Thursday. Miss Randy Heisterman was the woman who was supposed to show up to the hearing who did not subsequently show up, and we were not notified that she did not show up.
Which, again, is more so the responsibility between you and your tenant.
I understand.
Versus, okay. All right.
The point I'm making with the question is, regardless of how on a scale 1 to 10 this violation was in terms of safety, it was a safety violation, and it took 30 days and a fine to get you to respond. That bothers me. That bothers me. You have, I don't know how many customers you have in a bar at one time, 100, 200, 300, 300 people there, and there's a potential safety issue. And communication is not going on properly when you are notified. And I don't think, you know, just between you and me, I'm not supposed to edit, but I think if you get any more of these, you better be on top of your tenant.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I think Mr. Newell can probably speak to this as well, but it's my understanding that the fire system was working throughout the course of those 30 days. It was just a small area that was used for storage that was not compliant. The fire suppression system as a whole was working.
Well, just a note to that, yes. So essentially the part of the inspection that needed to be done to make sure that this system did work, but the other part was that other section on the second floor that was really never used. There was, a couple decorative things that were hung below that. So, yes, for the majority of the entire place, the system was operational.
Okay, I have a question.
Ms. Hines?
You see, I have the same management, right? And whether the fine is reduced or remain the same, this fine will go to that management. Am I correct?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
She's stating that you still have the same tenant.
Yes,
and,
correct.
And because this fine is against the tenant, regardless of the amount of the fine, your question is, will this fine be shifted to the tenant, or will you all pay it, which is... That's her question.
Okay. Ultimately, we'll pay it because we're here and we're representing our property. But we will bill that. We'll bill the tenant back for that. Yes.
Okay.
Whether we receive it's a different story. And I just wanted to mention, if I may, that you couldn't be more concerned about the safety issues that are being addressed, which is why we're here. And the moment we became notified of their noncompliance of showing up as they stated they would, which obviously in a relationship we trust that they will, we immediately, as quickly as possible that the companies could respond, got those issues corrected.
And one more question. What do you have in place that if something happened again, that the same management will not show up or will not notify you? Have you put anything in place for that?
Our understanding is that they have named new management. So we have a newly developed relationship with their newly appointed management. So not the same representatives that proved to be noncompliant.
Any other questions from members of the board? Staff's recommendation is reduction of the fine to $2374.50 from the standing $4749.01. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion's been made by Mr. Borns. Is there a second?
Second.
And seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign.
No.
Aye.
No. Roll call vote.
We will do a roll call. Amy?
Can you restate the motion, please?
Motion was to reduce the fine from $4749.01 to $2,374.50.
Okay.
Payable within 30 days.
Mrs. Himes?
No.
Mr. Borns?
Yes.
Ms. Kundig?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Passes 4-2.
Motion passes 4-2.
Motion carries. As you all were just witnesses to, we've reduced your fine to $2,374.50, payable to the city within 30 days, or the fine will revert back to the original amount. All righty.
Thank you.
That concludes our lien reviews. We will now move on to the hearing of our cases, and we will take them in the order that they are in the sense that the inspectors have as far as the number that they have. So we're going to ask Mr. Garcia to come since he has case number one, and that is case number CB1112126, John and Francis Witherspoon, property located at 315 Michigan Avenue. The respondents are present. Mr. Garcia, if you will give us an introduction.
This Code Officer Daniel Garcia with property address 315 Michigan Avenue, here for a progress report. We actually found out today there was another change, and the change was with the getting Colleen Miles on Monday, getting with the neighbors of the property and discussing a internal zoning change. And so that's where we're at now. Colleen's not in today. She won't be in until Monday. Monday she'll be going out there and discussing that. And that may even change, but that's what we have right now.
Okay.
The owners have also requested that they will not, if they cannot attend each hearing because of the travel, they have traveled back and forth just to give this. So they're going to give me the information, and then I'll just pass it on to you.
That is fine. For any time we have progress reports, you just need to communicate with the inspector, and you can save yourself some trips. Just make sure that line of communication is always open with the inspector so that you all don't have to present. But since you're here, anything you wanted to add today, Mr. or Mrs. Witherspoon?
No.
If you can just come to the mic, yeah. Introduce yourself, I'm sorry, and raise your hand to be sworn in.
Francis Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
We would just like to thank the board and the city, all the departments, for everything you're doing. This has just been a terrible experience for us. And we feel like finally everybody's working together
And it's not that we don't want to be here for every aspect of it, but because until we can actually do something, there's no reason for us to be here all the time, and it is quite expensive to travel back and forth. But I would not want the board to take that as a sign that we were not interested, because that nothing could be further from the truth, and we are anxiously awaiting the date. And I think Ms. Miles had said possibly within 60 days that this would be resolved, so which means another 2 months that we really can't do anything.
Gotcha.
And so, but I did want to say that.
Yeah, at this time, a concrete agreement hasn't been made. And every time there's one made, it's been changed.
Gotcha.
And this is what we both found out today.
Okay. All right. Well, you all were here today just for a progress report. Any questions from members of the board? All right. Thank you all. Yes, I'm sorry. Ms. Himes?
So this is in to be rezoned.
That's what the discussion is on Monday. Zoning officer will be going out, speaking to the neighbors, and discussing an internal zoning change.
Okay. And we're actually still in Atlanta. Our plans were, you know, originally to fix this house and be here, but it's been delayed. But presently, the zoning is BP. And so what Mr. McKittrick and Ms. Miles and I believe Mr. Garcia have come up with is that RP is better. I mean, that's really what it should be, and so that it can be repaired as a residence.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, pardon me, I'm on mic. I guess I'm not. But anyway, if indeed the my understanding is that they're going to need a zoning change, it's going to be at least 60 days. Right now, we have a compliance date for April. Is there any thought, just in talking with Mr. Garcia, there's some thought maybe we should just go ahead and move the compliance date now and to May, with the assumption that nothing will happen any sooner than May, and at least have that taken care of through today, since we do have a party soon.
Would that be appropriate for us?
You can make a motion.
Okay. All right. Considering what Mr. Jackson just informed us, the chair will entertain a motion amending the. Thank you, Amy. Amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until May 1st to bring the property into compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of the fine up to $1,000 per day.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Just so you know, Mr. and Mrs. Witherspoon, what we've done is we've extended your compliance date till May to give you more time to get everything done. So definitely you won't have to continue to come back. But we just want to stress to keep a line of communication open with the inspector.
Okay, and we do appreciate that, because any extension, because if we can just get started within 60 days, of course it'll be, you know, months after that before we could actually be in compliance. But
gotcha.
We do appreciate everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, once they find out what they're going to do, then they're going to be pulling permits and then getting started.
Okay. All right. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Annie, you can stay there. We're going to go ahead and call case number 17. That's the only other one you have. Case number 17 is CB011302, Kevin Jimenez. Property located at 124 South Street. Is the respondent present?
No, he isn't.
Okay. What can you tell us, Danny?
My name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials on file with the city. This is property address 124 South Street, parcel ID number 39153301010017. And the violations are of the pretty much it's outside storage and the non-conforming use of the commercial vehicles. At this time, all the vehicles have been removed. The large trailer was removed. There was some type of made shed of a freezer. That was the last thing removed. The only thing left is some outside storage around it. He said yesterday, he stated that he would have it all cleaned up, removed, you know, in compliance, but then the rain had caused him to stop, so it should be any day now where he should be in compliance. So I'm just non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay. All All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th to bring the property into compliance or return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion's been made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. All any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Danny. Mike,
I took over Tom's case number 5.
Okay.
North Beach Street. It's a vacant lot.
Case number 5 is 011303 Deterra Green III LLC. Property is located off of North Beach Street. Is the respondent present? Okay. If you could come to the microphone, state your name, address, and identify yourself and your relationship to the owner, if you're not the owner.
Hi, how are you today? My name is Mark Douth, and I'm a project engineer who actually performs services for the owner of the property. Our offices are located at 536 North Halifax, Daytona Beach.
Okay.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Let us hear from our inspector, and then we'll call you back up, sir.
I've been in touch with Mark, email, phone. At this time, they have now got a contract with agreement with AAA Fencing, and they will be removing the felt, black felt, as you see there, and all the fencing. They decided, the tenant decided not to replace that fence with another fence, and then they're going to be bush hogging the whole area and removing all the debris, outside storage that's on the property at this time. So I'll let you speak to him, and I'll pass out the agreement that he had.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, briefly, I became re-engaged in this property maybe 2.5 months ago when there was a violation for potholes. And the violation notice was sent to the owner. They sent it to their local council, which is Glenn Storch. And after he defined what it was, it ended up on my doorstep to see what we could do to take care of it. So we worked with Mr. Garcia. We hired a contractor, and the potholes were fixed, and that violation was closed. Unbeknownst to us, while we were doing all this, there was another violation out there, and we were not aware of it, and it was for the fencing matter. And it was for, we were supposed to replace all the black on the fence. So we contracted with a AAA fence to do that. And then there was an additional ruling that came out that really the fence is no longer allowed. Chain link fence is no longer allowed. So we put the fencing contractor on hold, redefined what was going to be necessary, whether we had to put a new fence or not. It was decided that we would just take the whole fence down in its entirety. While that was going on, we heard verbally, not a citation, that there was a pile of debris. So we had that pile of debris added to the contract. And then we also heard through, I think, Barbara, that it needed to be mowed. So the contract that we have is taking care of the violation and also proactively taking care of what could be two other violations, which is the pile of debris and the bush hogging of the site. So I've walked the site personally. We think this is going to put it in tip-top shape, and hopefully that'll close everything that we have on it.
Okay. All right.
So basically, I'm asking to amend to the next cutoff so we can have this done. Should be done before the next cutoff.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Do you think this work can be done within this next month?
I do. Actually, when we engaged the fence company, we were trying to get it done by today. So they're dragging a little bit, but we're keeping the pressure on them.
All right. Any further questions? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion allowing amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance. We return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. All righty. We'll go to case number 2. Case number CB1112124, Carolyn Riccani. Property located at 1225 Waverly Drive. Is the respondent present? All righty. Michael, what can you tell us?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Daytona Beach versus Carolyn Riccani. Address of 1225 Waverly Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 36, 1432, 0603, 0150. At this time, there's been nothing done on the property. We have exhibits A1 through A8, which is the photos taken at the beginning. We have exhibits done in the last couple days, B1 through B5, and there's been no changes at all. In closing, staff is requesting a $100 a day fine for noncompliance.
Is the home occupied?
It was. I don't know at this time. I'm not sure at this time.
I think the respondent was here at the last...
Yeah, she came in.
Mm-hmm. She's not here today.
No.
Is that correct? Okay.
It's a school teacher, and I guess...
All right. Any other questions?
Was anything fixed at all?
I know the grass was mowed, and the garage door was closed, but not fixed. It was broken open, so they've dropped it down.
Because I think we had given her extra time before.
Yeah, yeah. We've given her a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Staff recommends considered fine of, was it 100?
100 a day.
Fine of $100 a day until the property achieves compliance with a maximum of...
Her son was living there, so family was living there, $15,000.
$100 a day with a cap of $15,000?
Is it a rental?
No.
$10,000.
Okay.
$100 a day with a cap of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Okay, is that effective today?
Effective today, yes. Motion carries. All righty, Mr. Fitzgerald. Case number CB011301, Derek Long, LLC, property located at 2727 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite 121. Respondent present. All righty.
My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Parcel number 2514-3215-00C121, which is the commercial unit. I have been in contact with Dr. Long, and he's asking for another 30 days extension. The sliding glass door is a custom size and has to be manufactured. And staff is recommending to the next cutoff.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, he was first notified in October.
Yep.
And last time he was here, he said it was hard to find a contractor. This time he's saying it's hard to find a contractor.
Well, he sent me a list of all the contractors he's contacted.
Okay.
He asked for them to give him proposals. Only two returned proposals out of nine. He's trying to work on it, and the statement was that it is a custom size.
That's the only kind of door that'll fit in there. You can't buy a door and
see where the glass door is. I mean, yeah. The covers. And there's more pictures also, but that would be it. They're, I guess, extra large for that condominium when it was built, and they're all the same in the whole building.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember asking the last time. It's the glass that's broke, and I remember asking him. I know the glass could be replaced, but I can't remember his response. I think he said he wanted to do something else with the door.
Yeah, they were. Some of the conversations I had was they were asking the condominium association if they could close it in and put windows. He was having that done by those contractors. At the end, the conversation was, I guess the condominium might have said no because it would have changed the look, but I don't know that. But they said it's very difficult to get that glass out of those old doors. That the whole door would be replaced and it has to be broken up and it's... So what they had done in the inside, where they had already, the inside was boarded up, so you wouldn't even see the glass. And then to protect the public, he went ahead and spent the money and had the hurricane shutters put in. Yes. So, and I spoke with the supervisor, and he also recommended next cutoff.
Any further questions? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion.
Okay.
Motion made by Ms. Heim, seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion?
Yes. If next time something comes up, can we just cut it? I would like for that to be in the thing, because we've had quite a long spell here. All
yes.
I'm saying is that next time, if it's not done...
Do you want the fine retroactive to the...
Well, you have that option to do that, but I think you want to make it clear. I think she's trying to make it clear. This is it.
Okay.
No more extensions.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
One abstention for Ms. Kundig. Motion carries.
That would be one no vote.
One, what did I say?
Extension.
Oh, okay. One no. My bad.
I thought you said
abstention. Okay. All righty. Let's see here. How many do you have, Mr. Quigg? You have four. Let's see here. Mike had two. Danny had two. You're next. Case number four, which is CB 12141, Travis Lee Roby and Jacqueline G. Harmon, JTRS and INS Altes and Shauna Conway, JTRS, property located at 725 North Peninsula Drive. Is the respondent present? All right, if you all could come forward and be sworn in, identify yourself and give us your address, please.
I'm Shauna Conway. I live in Ormond Beach, Florida.
If you can state your address for us.
6000 St. George's Avenue, Ormond Beach, 32174.
And your name, sir?
Ian Altes, 173 University Circle, Ormond Beach, Florida.
All right, if you all can both raise your hands and be sworn in, please.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, if you all have a seat, we'll hear from the inspector, and then we'll give an opportunity to respond.
This was a due process on these new owners. The case was a triplex, which was to be converted back to a duplex. I've been going by the property appraisal, which says 725 North Peninsula. It's the first time I met these people. I posted a property. So it needs to be converted back still to a duplex, and I have not... had a reinspection to make it in compliance yet. So as far as I know, it's non-compliant. So the city's requesting a $25 a day fine, capped to $10,000. If
it's actually before us today for a compliance, non-compliance.
I'm sorry. Okay, for other people, it's being non-compliant still.
Okay. All right.
Are these the new owners, Mr. Clint?
Yes.
Have they been properly noticed?
I posted it, and this is the first time I met them today.
Okay, then we can't find them today anyway.
Right.
We have to give an opportunity to cure.
Okay.
You all may respond at this time, please.
We bought the property a couple months ago, and we weren't really sure. We weren't told how to get it into compliance. So we were wondering what needs to be done to the back property in order to make it a duplex.
Okay, it's going to be a zoning issue. The first part of the property needs to be just a single family. The back part of the property needs to be an apartment. That's it. Remove the mailboxes and I think you had the wall. I never been inside the place yet.
Yeah.
But it's just be just a single family.
Okay. What does that mean to make it to single family?
Well, you know, what we're going to need to do, if you all have any questions for the board, we'll give you an opportunity.
Okay.
There'll be plenty of time for you to speak with the with the inspector as to what specifically needs to occur.
Okay.
In the eyes of fairness, Mr. Clegg, if they approach to do this correctly, how much time would they need?
Well, there was a construction dumpster that I don't know what they were doing, but it looked like some interior work. Within 30 days, next cut off.
Okay.
So.
All righty. Any other questions for the board? All righty. Seeing.
Question.
Yes.
I'm not sure who's who. These individuals are new owners. What about the owners listed? Are they not associated with the property?
Not anymore.
They sold it to you?
They sold it, yes.
And you also go over when?
November 28th, I believe.
So they sold. No, they don't like us. That's okay. They sold it to my mom. Okay.
Yeah, they sold it prior to the after they were notified for the violation. They should have been notified, but that as it may, these are new owners. You have their address, the new owner's address?
They just, I didn't have their current address.
Can we get your address, please?
6,000 or 6,000? That's what I was missing. St. George Avenue.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, and let's get and same address, Ms.?
No. Right, it's 173 University Circle. It's Orga Beach, 32176.
You're Sean and you're Ian?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would ask that we amend the case to show these individuals as the respondents in the case.
They've already been added.
They're already on there, so are we removing
follow
the...
names. Okay.
Removing okay. Travis Roby and Jacqueline Harmon?
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I like said during the sale, I thought that you were notified about the violation.
They quickly kind of said this might be an issue. They kind of told us how he would have fixed it, but never actually.
I thought it was part of the sales agreement. That's why you never
know. Okay.
Because these people need to be notified.
Right. All right.
But they're here today, so that's notification.
No, I said I'm
here. Yeah. Okay. Good.
I was back in December. December 31st,
okay.
I sent my office
notified. Okay. In this circumstance, the staff position, if we think we should go ahead and remove the prior owners, it does seem like, even though it was a casual revelation, that they did reveal or give notice to them of this existing office.
Okay.
Do you, okay, you don't, how many tenants?
Hold on 1 second, Mr. Harrington. Ms. Hines had a question, and then.
These were joint tenants. I mean, joint owners originally, because she got Travis Leroy and Jacqueline Harmon.
That's original.
Those are the original owners.
Okay. Now JTR, so that's not joint.
Well, that's the where I got confused. Yeah, apparently, the first two were joint owners. Now these two are joint owners. So we have joint owners prior.
Two sets of joint owners.
Now these two are joint owners.
Okay.
So the first set of joint owners was saying we would save a lot of confusion going in and removing.
Mr. Harrington,
how many tenants do you have in the building?
We have one tenant currently in the back.
Okay, so you're not going to rent to the unit that's going to be eliminated in this procedure?
No.
So you won't have that problem. Okay.
Ms. Kundik.
So, Mr. Jackson, these people have been properly noticed, correct?
Well, they're noticed.
Here today. I'm supposed to say notification to hear.
Okay.
Notification and given an opportunity now. That's
okay. May I ask both of you what you are doing on the property right now to comply?
Well, we weren't sure what we needed to do to bring it to compliance, so that's why we were here to find out what we needed to do.
All the work... That trash dumpster. The trash dumpster out front was for the just doing renovation on the main house, the front
okay.
house. So far nothing's been done with the back house, that back duplex.
Okay. So someone is living in the front of the house?
No.
No one. So in one of the units in the back, there's a tenant. Okay.
Any other questions?
It is not compliant. Yeah, not compliant.
Okay. All righty. Who?
Testify to this case?
She's.
Yeah, go. It's
up to us. Okay. Come forward and state your name, address.
Tracy Remark, 815 North Oleander Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32118.
Retrain this. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I was up here before on this case, and I just wanted to make sure if this is being used as a commercial property, which is allowed, the zoning is single family plus an overlay zoning for one other unit, which means they have to get rid of a unit. But if they're doing this as commercial, this is something, if they're doing any electrical or anything like that, it would have to be permitted as well, correct? Since it's a commercial.
That's up to him to decide.
I mean, if they are, you mean the work has to be permitted?
If it's something where you're going to have tenants. Electrical. Okay.
Requires a permit.
Okay.
Who pulls the permit is different. If it's a homesteaded property, the property owner can pull the permit.
Okay.
And do the work him or herself. If it's a non-homesteaded property,
then
a rental,
okay,
then they're required to obtain a licensed contractor to pull the permits and to do the work.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I had also checked this morning on permits just to try and find out what might be happening with the property, and there's nothing pulled yet, but I understand now because they're not sure what they need to do.
Okay. It sounds like, and I think they said it twice, that that they really hadn't had any contact with anyone, so
okay.
The instruction on what they need is still kind of hanging out here until they do come and sit down with an inspector and a zoning officer and get some direction on what they need to do.
Okay.
And so that's obviously something that's becoming fundamental to do, and so we'll believe that I'm coming in this morning. We'll move them forward to the next step of getting with the staff and figuring out what they need to do, make the changes. I did have a question for you, though. Well, because you were in the case
right
initially, and we kind of made this decision to sever the prior rules, and I didn't know if you had any other knowledge about the case or the situation that would make a reason why we should not be severing the prior rules.
I know the prior owners knew that it was in non-compliance and why it was in non-compliance, and they sold it in non-compliance. And it was my understanding that it was part of the closing documents that it was in non-compliance, and the new owners would have to bring it. And I don't know if they obviously didn't tell them the nature of it, but they were aware, as far as I know. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Clegg, before we entertain any motion, I just want to make sure we gave it till March 6th. Is that plenty of time to get
that's,
done?
That's fine. And if they also need a variance for some reason from zoning, they can get that. But so my supervisor advised any permits would be short-lived because it's very very minimal.
All righty. Mr. Altez, Ms. Conway, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice? All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Definitely.
Oh, I'm sorry. And we also, the motion was to remove the
previous owner.
Yes. Yes.
We'll do a separate motion.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion at this time to remove Travis Lee Roby and Jacqueline G. Harmon, joint owners, from the property located at 725 North Peninsula Drive. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, we've given you all until March 6th, definitely.
Mr. Clegg's got a couple of cases. Why don't you hang around with Mr. Clegg and you can talk to him after the meeting?
Yeah.
We've got a couple more cases.
All righty, at this time we've disposed of case number 5, CB011303. At this time we'll move to case number.
Before we lose them.
Case number 6, CB011304, Gloria Ricciardi, property located 823 North Oleander Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
All righty. Sir, if you can step to the mic, introduce yourself, and state your relation to the property and your address.
John Ricciardi, 823 North Oleander Avenue. For Mrs. Ricciardi, Gloria Ricciardi, she's my mother.
All righty. Be sworn in, please.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All righty. We'll hear from our inspector, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, Mr. Ricciardi. Mr. Clegg?
Yeah, this is a case where he was, obviously in the picture here, was expanding his driveway without a permit. He works for FEMA, and I believe it was New Orleans hurricane or something,
New Orleans, yeah,
that he had to leave. He is a neighbor of Ms. Remark, and I told him that he might have an issue with the zoning because of the setback. I think it's a little bit too close to her driveway. On the left side of that picture, I think it's within 5 feet. I talked to her. I don't know if she's still here, but she said there would be no problem with her and him infringing, but that's a zoning issue. I told him to go down and get a permit. He still hasn't got a permit, but then I think he got called up in the next hurricane. So, but we need to get this resolved because it's been a while. So, still no permit.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I'm talking out of turn, but the driveway is within the footprint of the garage. So, and it's within the
setback.
Yeah, as far as I know. So.
Okay. Mr. Clegg, he's here today for consideration of noncompliance. How much time do you think we need to give?
I was just talking to him back there. I think he's already got the plans drawn up, so within 30 days again, too. It's a simple permit.
So you think by March 6th, or should we be safe and go to April?
Yes, as long as there's no zoning issue, correct?
Safe by March or April?
March.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All righty. Mr. Riccardi, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion?
Yeah. So the violation is that there's no permit?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
No permit for the driveway.
Okay. But you're going to go downstairs and get...
Yeah, I'm in the process.
Okay.
They
can
send me out.
Okay. All right.
All righty. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next case is number 19 for Mr. Clegg. Case number 19 is CB021329, JNC Solomon Enterprises, Inc., DBA, Shisha Hookah and Cigar Hut, property located at 654 through 656 North Grandview Avenue. Is the property owner here?
Yes.
Ma'am, if you can step forward to state your name, your address, and relationship to the owner.
Good morning. My name is Margaret Solomon. I live at 72 Coquina Ridgeway, Ormond Beach, Florida, 32174, and I'm the president of JNC Solomon Enterprises.
If you can raise your right hand, be sworn in, please.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Ms. Solomon, let us hear from the inspector and give you an opportunity to respond.
My name is Officer Clegg. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CE-2013-0297, City of Daytona versus JNC Solomon Enterprises, Inc., DBA, Shisha Hookah and Cigar Hut, property 654-656 North Grandview. Parcel ID is 05-15-3301-400010. And what it is, the violations were they had an illegal sign. They were operating a cigar, a tobacco shop with a sign out there. And when they removed the top, the coverings were exposed. They had a broken window right here, and they had no permit for pavers outside. They had some outside sales activities. I talked with the owner now. She's in a process. I believe she told me today she did get the glass came in. They need to get a permit for that. She did get a sign being renewed, and I think it is approved. I got to go out there and get a picture of that. So the only thing that she's got to do right now is the pavers, and that's going to be a zoning adjustment, a variance,
okay,
which she might have some issues with, but she's working with Colleen Miles on that, and I think she's going to explain that she needs a little bit more time than the city probably would recommend. So. She needs at least, I think she said, 60 days minimum. So.
Okay. All right, Ms. Alton, if you'll step forward, please. Anything you'd like to say to the board?
I'm in a position where I filed bankruptcy January 14, but I am not using that as an excuse not to repair my property because, as you can see, I did a lot of work to the building. It wasn't disrepair. Unit 3 is in the motion to get it all repaired. So we're done with the sign, and we're going to make it look good for the city. So I'm not. It's hard to deal with people that come in at night after 2 a.m. in the morning when they're drunk and they break your windows. And it's a constant thing that I'm replacing glass. So the glass did come in. I did order it, and it came in today.
Okay.
So I just we're just going to file for a variance for the pavers up front with Colleen. So
and
we just need some time.
Okay. How long will that take?
That might be an issue because I talked to Colleen. They said that they'll probably be denied the variance at first. So we're talking a minimum. She would like 60 days. So might we need a progress report then. But the pavers are done. It looks good. But like I said, the zoning really requests them to remove it. So they're going to deny the permit at first. So it might be a lengthy process. So at least 60 days, she would say. So.
Okay.
And like I said, the windows, I think she's got a permit to sign, or people putting in her window and needed a permit, too, and I believe that's be taken care of today, too.
Mr. Chair, alternatively, discussion with the inspector, but having a discussion with the supervisor, the preference in this case is that the staff would like to request 30 days for compliance, and this is something that we really need a press for it to get completed as fast as it can be completed. If it's not completed, at least a good explanation, and we'll deal with that at the next proceeding if it's not completed, if their explanation is appropriate. Okay. But the preference is it's very it's an ongoing situation that needs to be resolved, and we really want to get it done.
I have a couple of questions. Mr. Klieg, are the electrical wires still exposed?
No, that she had a sign company come out to correct
okay.
it and put her, I think it's Chicopee's, I think it's
yes.
The correct sign up now.
Is the corporation filing for bankruptcy, or are you personally?
The corporation.
The corporation. And you're the, what is your relation to the corporation?
I'm the president.
President, okay.
So I need to get permission from the trustee to pay for all the repairs on the pavers. If we have to remove them, we remove them. But if we get the variance approval, then we'll go that route and finish paving.
But I'm sorry. At this point, you have not applied for variance?
I have the application here.
I thought you said the pavers were finished.
Half of it. Yeah, they are finished. They were put up illegally. Yeah, quarterly.
The pavers are in front of the unit where the glass is broken, not in front of the other two units. It's just a few pavers, and it's in front of that third unit.
Is that what it looks like without
sir.
The pavers?
No. It's finished now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It looks nice, actually.
And so it's just the only thing that isn't done, regardless of the permit, on the is the window, which you have the glass.
Yes, I have to get a permit from downstairs to install the glass.
Mr. Klieg, you said that it's probably going to be turned down with variance.
I talked to Colleen Miles. Yes, she believes, because originally back in November she denied it. But if she's got an option, of course anybody's got an option to file variance, and that might go through.
Okay.
But again, the city is requesting 30, but she said zoning-wise it's not going to be done within 30 days. So she'd probably have to get it approved, the variance, or get it removed. So.
But you would be able to notify us if...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have to have all my paperwork in by February 27, and then the meeting for the variance is March 27. That's why we asked for 60 days.
That's the Board of Adjustments you're
talking? Yes, sir.
But we're still in the position of that not having been filed, and so...
Okay, so if she files the application, we'll know that at our next meeting, and we can ask for an extension then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, at this time, Chair will entertain a motion. Sorry. Ms. Solomon, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
All right. At this time, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Solomon. All righty. Let's see here. Who's next? Eddie. Oh, Vicky. Who's taking Vicky? Oh, Vicky's here. There we are.
Covering for Eddie.
All righty. Vicky's covering for Eddie? For Edwin?
I believe so.
All righty. Well, we'll go ahead and start with Edwin's cases. Number 7.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach, and my credentials are on file with the city.
This is City of Daytona Beach case number CEB 0912111, Daisy M. Jones, 565 Live Oak Avenue.
All right. Respondent being present, I ask you to step forward. Please state your name and be sworn in, please.
Daisy M. Jones.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I affirm.
Thank you.
All righty. Barb?
The property
Vicki, I'm sorry.
The property is currently vacant. Ms. Jones, the last time we talked, that Eddie talked with her, was the last meeting, and she had no funds to take care of the work. There were no funds available through City, the Community Development Department, to do it for her either. That being the case, and the fact that he had not heard from her, he was requesting a $100 a day fine with a $15,000 cap, since we were just at a standstill and nothing could be done.
Okay. Ms. Jones?
Yes, I would just like to say that since that time, I have diligently tried to find some resources. I am still on the waiting list with the City of Daytona. And I also had to send a letter to Lowe's department in Ormond Beach because they're trying to see if they can buy at least the materials for me. And then I just pay the rest of whatever the amount is. I do have a contractor that has looked at it, and he will be working with me on this. And what I'm just asking is maybe for just either 30 to 60 days, and within that time I should have it done, if not by what Lowe's will do for me or the City, then I'll be doing it myself. So I just need like 30 to 60 days at the most to get it done.
Yeah. All right, Vicki.
Okay. I need to stand in front of the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. The City's going to request, we understand that the situation that this property owner is in, and what we would like to do, rather than inconvenience her coming in over and over again, and rather continuing this case, we go ahead and set the fine. Once she gets everything in place and gets the work done, we can certainly come back in here for that lien review, understanding that this is ongoing and she's actually working on it, and we can reduce it at that time, rather than continuing this.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Yes. Ms. Jones, you live there, correct?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. I thought, okay. Does anyone live there?
No.
This is a real question. Is it habitable? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Can anyone live there? Is it habitable? Can someone live in a house? Or is it?
Yeah, it can be a little bit. I don't live there because I've been sick. No. And I live with my sister for right now.
Yeah, all right, no more questions.
Any other questions?
Yes. So what you're saying, Mrs. Jones, is that in 60 days, you, if you don't get any other help, will repair this roof. Is that what
Yes, I'm ma'am, I am.
So this house has been rained on and rained into, probably. I mean, you were notified in May, so we're coming up on this May. And we don't know how long it has been in this condition. Do you have any idea how long the roof has been in this condition?
No, it wasn't always rained on, and it doesn't rain in there on the full part of the house. There was a tarp on the house before Eddie Lopez asked me to put another one up there. So when I had someone to do that, that took care basically of any rain.
Yes, it was.
So there's a tarp on the whole roof now?
Right, there is.
So this is...
Ms. Quinney, Mr. Chair, if I could say, Lisa is filing, I don't know, and maybe she can speak to this, but the application for assistance regarding this property for disaster mitigation goes back to July of 2009. So okay. I'm not sure how long we've been in this condition.
Chief.
Ms. Hines.
This goes of the property.
The
different
request for assistance and aid for the property as a result of disaster mitigation goes back to July of 2009 as part of our record.
Any other questions? Staff has recommended an imposition of a fine of $100 a day with a max of 10,
15.
With a max of 15 until compliance is achieved. That is the recommendation of staff. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mrs. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. Ms. Jones, what the board has done is impose a $100 a day fine with a max of $15,000. As Vicki alluded to, what you're able to do once you bring the property into compliance is appeal to the board for consideration of the fine.
Okay.
For review of the lien.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 8, CB1212146, has been disposed, is in compliance as of 2/1/2013. Case number 9 is CB1212151, Jeanette McKinnon, property located at 639 Whitehall Street. Is the respondent present? All right.
I'm Vicki Langford with the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. This is case number CEB 1212151, Jeanette McKinnon, address 639 Whitehall Street. Ms. McKinnon has been very responsive in completing all the work that's been asked to be done of her. Probably 90% of the work has now been accomplished. One of the issues was that back door over that porch and an awning. The porch is now secure. Nobody, that door, you can see it boarded. Nobody can get out the door. No safety issues. The awning has been removed. Of all the issues with this property, the only thing left is there's a couple windows and a couple doors. The trim needs to be painted, and then it'll be finished and we'll be in compliance. We're asking to amend and request compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay. Staff's recommendation is to amend our previous order and allow the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Before we continue, are you it, Vicki?
No.
Oh, okay. All righty. Let us continue. Case number CB011314, Pyramid Leasing Incorporated, property located at 538 Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. Is the respondent present? All righty. What can you tell us, Vicki?
My name is Vicki. I'm code inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. Case number 011314, Pyramid Leasing. Address is 538 Dr. Mary M. Bethune Boulevard. There has been no contact with the owner. It's in noncompliance. The tenant was notified, and nothing has been done. So it looks still like it does in the pictures. There's still a great deal of debris and so on around the house. So the city's asking for a $100 a day fine with a cap of $15,000.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Finder respondent, $100 a day with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 18, CB021322. Betty Kreitman, property located at 140 South Keach Street. Is the respondent present? All right. Vicki, what can you tell us?
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm a code inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. This is case number CEB021322, Betty Kreitman. Address is 140 South Keach Street, Daytona Beach, Florida. The issues were trash, junk, debris, tires, household items. This property, the green card was not signed for. It was posted. There has been no contact. The He did speak with the tenant again, talking about the debris. Nothing has been done. It looks, again, like it did on the first day. So we're in noncompliance, and we're looking for compliance by the next cutoff or be returned for the possible imposition of a fine.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Bournes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 17, since we're on this page, has been disposed of. Case number 19 has been disposed of. Case number 20, CB021318, Marilyn Mitchell Estate, property located at 1331 South Paradise Lane. Is the respondent present? All righty. What can you tell us, Ms. Langford?
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file with the City of Daytona Beach. This is case number 021318, Marilyn Mitchell Estate, 1331 South Paradise, Daytona Beach, Florida. The green card was signed for in this case, and in contact with the individual who was the representative for the estate, he stated that the property was going into foreclosure, and apparently a Liz Pendens has indeed been filed. We are going forward at this case at this point because we don't have any. We're not there. We're not at foreclosure yet. So we are at noncompliance, and we're requesting compliance by the next cutoff.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent till March 6, 2013, bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Case number 21, CEB021319, Lance Maddox. Property located at 1660 East Paradise Lane. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
You please come forward, state your name, your address, and if you're not Mr. Maddox, your relationship to the owner.
Good morning. My name is Lance Maddox. I am at 1660 East Paradise Lane.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. And Mr. Maddox, we're going to hear from our inspector, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm with the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. It's case number CEB021319, Lance Maddox, 1660 East Paradise Lane. Violation is failure to maintain a swimming pool in a safe and sanitary manner. I have to say this is the first time I've seen Mr. Maddox, have not had any discussions with him at all regarding this property. The only thing I do know about this property is the pool is in bad shape. It is unsecure. It does need to be secured. It is my understanding from the neighbors that I've spoken with that it is going into foreclosure, that Wells Fargo has already contacted a handyman, that once the property is vacant, it's going to go in immediately, secure the pool, secure everything else that they need to do to get it taken care of. And so we're at noncompliance and next cutoff.
Okay. Mr. Maddox, what can you tell us, sir?
Yes, sir. I am a full-time chiropractor school student. I go to school Monday through Friday, and the weekends I'm a wound care nurse. I do not speak to my neighbors because during the days I'm in school, and I get out of school at 4:30. And then right after that, I'm a father of four. So if I'm not studying, I am doing the father thing or working. I do not speak to my neighbors. So therefore, I'm in the process of home loan remodification. If that doesn't go through, then we will start the foreclosure proceedings. I bought copies of my check stubs to show how often that I do work.
It's not necessary. We're here today to actually deal with yes. the matter before us, and yes. that's the swimming pool. What can you tell us?
The swimming pool. When I contracted a Pitchapenny pool service in South Daytona some time ago, so I can get an estimate on how much it will be to replace everything that needs to be fixed and get up and running. I got quoted roughly $4,500. I honestly financially can't swing that.
Okay.
Right. Just right now because I am in school. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's It's no excuse, but I realized by going back to school and stop being a full-time nurse of the financial sacrifices that I was going to be making. But as a father of four, I can't look my kids into the eye and be like, I mean, and say, this is the importance of an education if I don't strive to get one. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I have to say. When I originally received the notification of the fines, there were multiple, 5, 6. I did the other ones, but this pool's a big one, you know, and that's all.
Okay. Ms. Himes and then Ms. Kunde.
Mr. Maddox, you see you have 4 children?
Yes, ma'am.
What's their ages?
16, 14, 13, and 6 months.
Okay. And with 13, I'm looking at the safety of the pool could cost you much more than $1,000. To have it clean or even emptied and secured, this is a safety to me. Maybe I'm wrong. This is something safety even to your family.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking with the inspector, one of the things that the picture doesn't show well is that the condition of the pool is that it is a dark green disability safety problem, not only for and attracting this is the people who hop in this ball fence, but even to the children that are home now. And I think Mr. Maddox need to realize that, it's a serious condition. Maybe there's some temporary things he can do, and I don't know if you talk to the inspector on just getting it clear and trying to get it repaired. You may want to get some conversation with the inspector to see if there's some thoughts or ideas on how you can get it at least improved.
All right, Ms. Kunde.
Do you live there currently?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have the same concerns that Mrs. Himes has about children or about someone coming over the fence. Is there adequate fencing? No, there's not. All right. I don't think it would cost $4,500 to empty the pool and to cover it so that it's not a danger. Is that acceptable to code? I don't know. To empty the pool and cover it?
There are suggestions that code would make. I don't think that we've ever had any contact with them.
Yeah.
Giving some suggestions. Ultimately, you know, there's circumstances that would make a concern for emptying it if he really intends on having a monetary means to, and that's, you know, this float-up problem that you have in these areas. However, there's other things. If he's not going to be able to use it ever, or if it's going to take major repair anyway, maybe he can puncture or bottom the drain and stop letting go. Who cares? But that's up to him to figure out. And the challenge is he can't create waste. That's now that he has this list pendant going, or he's going to have to deal with those issues as well, as Mr. Bourne's and us may say. Can't just go start to, quote, the appearance of destroying things. So he has to kind of balance what he does. But at the same time, there's things he can do, in my opinion. And I think staff, and I'm speaking for them, but there's things, even if it's just dumping a 5 gallons of chlorine once a week and stirring it up, that could at least ensure that no one's down on it.
Mr. Chanel.
Yeah, I'm real concerned about telling this person what to do or what not to do with their pool. Mm-hmm. The pool, they'll empty the pool and it comes up, then he's going to sue the city.
Okay.
They don't want any more lawsuits.
Okay.
My suggestion, we have a health, safety, and welfare problem here. Our responsibility at this point is to tell him to solve the problem, give him an X amount of time. If he doesn't want to solve the problem, then we need to ask the city if they want to spend public funds, which the statute says we can do, to at least secure the pool. And we can do that today. But we can't sit around in front and tell them, well, when we do this and not do this. This is a health, safety, and welfare problem. We might get killed there today. So, question is, do you want to give him enough time to the next meeting to get things resolved himself? If not, we bring it back at the next meeting, and we ask the city if the city will expend funds to at least secure the pool. The county of Volusia has that all situation. They have a contractor that they hire, the county hires, to go around. All they do is secure the pool.
When you say secure the pool, can someone explain what that means?
What they do is they put a 2x4s or some sort of thing on top of the pool.
So you can't get in.
So you can't get in the pool in any circumstances. And at least that stops anybody getting in there. And then they lien the property for the amount of the whatever it costs to secure the pool.
they put a cost on the property.
Right. So.
All right, Mr. Maddox, do you, I'm sorry, any more questions? Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Seeing so, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th to bring the property into compliance by return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Again, Mr. Maddox, we encourage you to please get in contact with Ms. Langford.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Maddox, if we don't get resolved by you, then this board at the next meeting will act. And it's this possibility that we may recommend to the city, of course, the city's decision, to secure the pool and to lien the property, which means you're going to be paying for it anyway. So maybe in your best interest to do something yourself, but it's your decision.
Yes, sir.
We want this on the. We definitely want this on the next agenda, Amy. Okay.
Yeah.
Chairman,
yes, ma'am.
Do you really understand that he's being fined?
No, he's not being fined.
Not today.
Not today.
Right. But, Mr. Maddox, you are understanding what we just did.
Yes.
You have until March 6th to bring property in compliance, or therefore a fine will start incurring.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Again, we encourage you to try and fix the problem. Definitely stay in contact with Ms. Langford.
Yes, sir.
All righty.
Vicki, a simple question here. I see Mr. Maddox's address is 1660 East Paradise Lane. The previous case said 1321 South Paradise.
It's a U-shaped. There's a north, south, and a...
So that's accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we need, Mr. Garcia, maybe at the next meeting, if nothing gets done, some alternatives. Because we can, now that the city knows that the pool is a problem,
yeah.
We may have to, you know, it's obviously it's a commission's decision whether they want to spend city funds or not. And that's
going to
That'd
be fine.
Or they can go to court, get an emergency permit in order to go onto the property and secure the pool. So there are some alternatives
right.
that we can look at, and hopefully we can get something resolved before the next hearing date.
All right. All right. Thank you. Case number 22, CB021320, Amy Bennett, property located at 1654 East Shangri-La. 1654, case number 22. That case is in compliance as of February 5th. Moving on to case number 23, Teresa Burke, CB021321, property located at 948 Vernon Street. Is the respondent present? All righty, Ms. Langford, what can you tell us?
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number, CEB021321, Teresa Burke, 948 Vernon Street. The violation was parking on an unimproved surface. They've been very responsive. They did get their permit to enlarge the driveway and put up a fence. Excuse me. That has been issued. They had it all framed up. I have a verbal from them that it's all been done and taken care of. It just requires me to go do that final inspection. So I'm saying non-compliance, but next cutoff.
All right.
Pretty certain it's going to be finished.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, so that we can get Mr. Newell out of here and allow John to be our last inspector for the day. I think Mr. Newell has only two more left. Case number 11, which is CB1112134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, and Beach Properties Investment, the DBA, is the Bayview Hotel. Property located at 124 Orange Avenue. Is the respondent present? Step forward, state your name, your address, your relationship to the owner.
Yes, Ted Sanders with Stillwater Companies. We are the court-appointed receivers for this property, and my address is 1312 East Robinson Street, Orlando, Florida, 32801.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, let's hear from the inspector, and then we'll hear from you, sir.
Good morning. Yes, this is basically the fire escape on the back of the property, giving you an update of kind of what's happened in the last month. They found a non-compliance. They secured a permit, which at the last hearing they had just turned in for the permit to replace the actual fire escape stairs. What had happened in this last month, we had sent it back two or three times for changes that weren't corrected or were in compliance with code, whether it's fire or building. At this time, they have obtained the permit to actually replace the actual stairs themselves. They are not done. The pictures that you see before you are accurate as of yesterday. I took all of these currently yesterday. The permit was issued or was approved by the city on January 25th and was picked up by the company on the 29th. I have had numerous email correspondence back and forth and phone with Mr. Sanders here trying to get this accomplished. Apparently right now, he may be able to speak a little bit more to that, but apparently that the construction company has ordered all the materials and has started constructing this fire escape stairs. It will be constructed off-site, brought on-site. This one will be torn down, and then the other one will be readily replaced, you know, right at that same time. We're actually looking for staff's recommending next cutoff to get them to complete this actual project. Again, the delay has been the fact that permits going back and forth, the drawings were not complete as in compliance with building or fire codes.
Have the windows been taken care of?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Everything else has been taken care of except for the stairs.
And that was done at our last board meeting, just so you know.
Yes. But, again, these are accurate photos as of yesterday.
All right.
And I know you can't see the date at the bottom, but it's in the little black section.
Yes, sir. You have anything to add?
Again, Ted Sanders, Stillwater Companies. We have been pushing hard on the folks who were making the revisions to the construction drawings and, of course, the contractor. Some of the revisions to the drawings per the building department, and I understand, have been in communication with everybody consistently on this. Some of the changes that the building department required did constitute an amendment to the contract of almost $2,400 for additional materials alone. So the contractor is working diligently in trying to get this done. He has committed to me that he'd have it installed in 30 days, mm-hmm. but he had to order additional materials. He had to switch out some things for there to become compliant. So we intended to have this done by every stretch. The project has been completely funded by the lender on this case. And the day after the contractor picked the permit up, we paid him in compliance with the draw schedule that the contractor had. So, we've been doing everything we can to get this thing moving along, and we authorized the additional dollars to be spent for the materials for the compliance. So that's the status.
All righty. You think everything will be done by March 6th?
I do.
Okay. All righty. Staff has recommended that we amend our previous order and allow the respondent until March 6th, 2013, to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12 has been it's in compliance as of February 13th, 2013. Case number 13, which is CB011305, Gepa Hotel, owner Daytona Beach, LLC, DBA Hilton Daytona Beach Walk Village. Property located at 100 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent present? All righty. Seeing none, what can you tell us, Mr. Newell?
CB101305, Gepa Hotel owner, Daytona Beach, or the Hilton against City of Daytona Beach, 100 North Atlantic Avenue. This is going to be an update. At last meeting, you said to make sure we have everything completed on the list with the exception of number 7. They have completed everything, and all of that's been completed with the exception of number 7. Number 7, just to remind you, was the 10% of the actual heads had to be pulled out and sent out to UL laboratories to see if they were tested. That was done. I've had constant communications with the Hilton gentleman who was here last time, and also the sprinkler contractor, which is Wigington Fire, who was also here last time. So we are currently just waiting on that report to come back, whether they're going to have to turn around and replace, I think it was like 1,000 heads or something ridiculous, or if the report says that they're going to be okay and they could leave those heads in. So they are in compliance with everything from last meeting, with the exception of we're still waiting on number 7.
All righty. Seeing that, we asked everything to be in compliance by the 24th, except for number 7, and we gave a deadline for that of the 6th of March. This was more or less an update. Any questions from the board?
Number 7 requires the inspection. After they have their inspection, they're going to come back here and ask for more time to replace if they need to.
Basically, what's going to it's a 6 to 8 week process for the UL laboratories to review the sprinkler heads. At that time, once that test comes back, I will be notified of what the test says, and then they will have to replace all of those heads. At this time, it would be speculation upon my part whether they would be needing more time. I honestly can't give you that information, but they would have to, based on the report, replace all the heads that are currently in there that meet that criteria of the age, or that it's going to be fine and they don't have to replace
and
any of them.
If they did replace them, there would be another inspection process while they're on it, after they're placed in service.
Yes. Oh, so if they have to replace them based on the UL laboratories, then yes, another reinspection by myself to ensure that the compliance is made will be done by myself. Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Tony.
It sounds like you said is that they can't be in compliance by March. The next time scheduled to be is March 6th on this case. Is based on the time period you just gave for the time that it's going to take the test, is that possible for them? Or
yeah.
Should we be looking for more time before you come back?
Well, the 6 to 8 weeks was based on the last time, so they were pulled out almost within days of the last meeting, and that was we can't have answers, you know. So I would like for it to stay on the March agenda if it's okay with the board.
All righty. Well, this was just like I said, an update for us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Case number 14, 15, and 16 are all in compliance as of February 13th, 2013. We will move to case number 24. But prior to moving to case number 24, Mr. Stinson, I am supposing that the remaining persons here today are for yours. So if you will call them up in the order they came to you so we can get them out of here.
Sure.
What's the first one?
The first one we're going to do is case number 28.
Case number 28, which is CB021327, David Mayhew, Jr., property located at 464 Pleasant Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing that you are, we ask that you step forward, state your name, give your address, and be sworn in, please.
I'm David Lloyd Mayhew, Jr. My address is 464 Pleasant Street, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Be sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. We'll hear from our inspector, Mr. Mayhew, and then we'll give an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, John?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector employed at the city. My qualifications are on file. This case number, CEB021327, David L. Mayhew, Jr. versus City of Daytona Beach. The property address is 464 Pleasant Street. Parcel ID is 533-886-0020. Violations that we're here to discuss today are dilapidated roof and dilapidated fencing. My last inspection on the property was yesterday morning. He has completed quite a bit of the roofing work. There is still some left to be done. There's also still some fencing left to be done. So currently he is in non-compliance.
All right. Mr. Mayhew, you can step forward. Anything you'd like to say to the board?
Yes, when I talked to Mr. Stinson, this is the first time I've seen him. And this morning, when I was coming in, I got this letter saying that I had got approved. But he's telling me something that I didn't know nothing about, different from what he said from when I talked to him. What he wanted me to do was fix the under part of the left-hand side of my roof and the front part and the fence in the front. Now, what he was saying about the north side, that's something totally different what he just told me today. Other than that, I would have fixed that too. But that's what he said today. Okay. After I showed him this, and I got pictures of what I did to the roof.
When you're saying this, what exactly are you holding?
Oh, the can I get to you or him? Sorry. I got this downstairs.
His permit for the roofing.
Oh, that's the permit. To do the roofing. Okay.
Unfortunately, what it shows on this permit or on this piece of paper is that the roof is final, saying that the job is completed.
Thank you.
I have to get the building department to dispute that, because clearly, as you can see on the northwest corner of the house, the rear, right there in between the tree and the house, there is a closer picture on there. But that rear corner of the roof hasn't been touched at all.
So building department approved that the work was done.
That's the way.
They may have made an error.
I'm sorry.
I understand. Okay. Hold on one second, Mr. Mayhew.
Okay.
We're just here for our next cut off of this.
Okay.
And you can check in that.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
That's what I'm saying. When I talked to him the first time last year, I asked him specifically what he wanted me to do. And all the stuff that he's showing you there, besides what he just showed you then, he didn't say nothing about that.
Okay.
He just said the front part and the side and the fence. The driver's side of the fence.
Okay.
And like I said, I have pictures to show that. But I don't know what he keeps saying about the fence still. I'm trying to figure out what he keeps saying about the fence.
Okay. Mr. Mayhew, tell me this here. Once Mr. Stinson points out the items to be corrected, how much time do you think you would need to correct everything?
About, I guess, 2 months at the most. Because I don't know what he keeps saying about the fence. That's what I'm keep asking him. And it's like the drive side, when you drive in, the fence was down. But now, I guess, you can see where I put it up, fixed it. So I don't know what he keeps saying about the fence. That's what I'm trying to figure out about the fence now. I got to get the bike part fixed.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Stinson, respondent stated that he would need, at the most, 2 months to get everything fixed. What is the city's position on that?
The city is asking for the next cutoff.
I think I've been advised by the inspector that he hadn't actually had contact with this gentleman. So if we get this asked, do you reside there at the house?
Yes.
Okay, and so the permits were pulled, you pulled them for the work?
Yes.
Was the building inspector there when you had filled out the report while you were there, or did
he
mailed it to you?
No, he wasn't there. Well, no, I came and got it. I came and got the permit.
No, I don't mean the permit. The permit that says it was completed.
Oh, no.
We approved.
I just picked that up from downstairs today. I didn't, because he told me to go down there
today.
Okay.
And I seen the lady outside.
So you didn't talk to the building inspector?
All right. Mr. Mayhew, do you acknowledge that what Mr. Stinson has notified you of existed, those violations?
Yes. Well, not the bike part, just the front. The part I just said, the front and the side and the fence. That's all he said.
Okay. All right.
You did that work yourself?
Yeah. My brother-in-law do roofing work. You know what I mean?
You have the notice of violation. I think that was first initially issued to you, rather.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it. On there, does it not say repair or replace the dilapidated roof?
Yeah.
So that would indicate that it's just not one section of the roof. It's the entire
roof. Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
Okay. All right.
But like I said,
there's a misunderstanding on your part.
I asked him specifically what he was saying. And what he specifically said was the driveway, once you drive in, that front part of the roof and on the side of the roof. And that's all you said.
All right. Well, we have to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Hines.
But, Mr. Mayhew, I'm trying to understand this. On the notice, it said replace or what? Would Mr. Simpson give repair dilapidated roof? Okay. That means okay. The whole.
I can understand what you're saying by that, but like I understand that. But like I said, I asked him specifically what he wanted me to get done.
It looks like he got additional time because of your lack of understanding. So
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, Mr. Mayhew, do you acknowledge that some or all the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
Okay.
But he still never answered the question about the fence.
Okay. He's going to be able to get with you once we finish. All righty.
Excuse me. Maybe, Mr. Simpson, you should say repair old fence or whatever. You know, just be safe.
It's up. But, like I said, I don't...
The inspector will tell you specifically what needs to be done so that you can come into compliance. All righty. Seeing the respondent has acknowledged the notice of the violations, the chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013, to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
A motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion?
Yes. I'm still confused. Does all of the fencing need to be replaced, or can it be repaired?
It can be repaired. Okay. All of the fencing does not have to be replaced. There are a few sections of fencing.
And what kind of roof is it? Is it shingle, or if I can't see, shingle roof?
I don't have that answer.
Shingles. Does the whole roof need to be replaced?
No, it does not. Okay. The majority of the work that needs to be done is fascia board. All the way around the house. And the northwest corner hasn't been addressed yet.
Okay.
Any other questions?
And when you get a permit from the city to do work, how does the city say the work's... I mean, shouldn't the permit just say you have the permit to do this work? Why? I don't understand how the permit says... The work's completed. It also says that after the work's completed.
You call the people and they come out and inspect it and they give you a certificate of compliance. This is how it's done with me the last two times I did it.
Okay.
You get a permit. If you're the owner of the home, you're going to do the work yourself. You obtain the permit. You say you're going to do roof repairs. It's not going to indicate northwest corner, southwest corner, the whole roof or anything. It's just a general permit for the roof. Now, it's up to the individual, the homeowner, to call for an inspection. When the inspector gets there, he says, this is what I've done. Well, the inspector is going to inspect the work that has been done, not the entire room.
I understand. Okay. That answers my question.
Ms. Hines?
She did mean like that. But the reason I said about the whole fence, so that you could look at the whole thing and repair whatever needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't have to be back in this again.
Well, I'm quite certain, and I hope Mr. Mayhew will be in contact with Mr. Stinson to make sure everything is addressed properly. All right. Okay, like I said, once we finish, you'll be able to meet with him again for further explanation. Motion on the floor is to find respondent noncompliance and allow the respondent until March 6th to bring the property in compliance. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 29CEB021328 is in compliance as of February 5th, 2013. And
go backwards.
Mr. Stinson. What was your next case? The people that were here. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's going to be case number 26, 502 Madison Avenue.
All right. Case number CB021325, Ramon and Jane I. Said, the property located at 502 Madison Avenue. Is the owner here?
Yes, sir.
Respondent here. If you can state your name, sir, and your address and your relationship to the owner, if you're not the owner.
Sure. My name is Raymond Saeed. I live at 5460 St. Regis Way, Port Orange, Florida. I'm the owner of 502 Madison Avenue.
Okay. Amy, did you get that street name?
5460 St. Regis Way.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was Port Orange?
Port Orange.
Okay.
32128.
Okay, Mr. Shedd, we'll hear from our inspector, and then we'll get an opportunity to...
go ahead and answer him.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, sir, are you going to be testifying?
I could be, yes.
Why don't you go ahead and state your name as well?
Okay. I'm Jeff Wise of Wise Builders, 120 Carswell Avenue, Holly Hill, Florida.
Can you both raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. Give the inspector an opportunity, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sirs. John, what can you tell us?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, code enforcement inspector employee of the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number CEB021325, City of Daytona Beach versus Saeed Ream and Jane I. Property address is 502 Madison Avenue. Parcel ID is 533-8011-40011. We're here to discuss the violation of working without permits. In a nutshell, the second floor of this two-story structure was being reinforced, redone, lifted. They were working on the support of the second floor without permits.
Okay. All right, Mr. Shedd, if you would like to respond, please, sir.
Yes, sir. We just purchased that property in November 28th, I believe. And while we're trying to remodel the building, the code enforcement decided that the ceiling between the second floor, the first floor and second floor, has to be 2 hours fire prevention. However, I contacted a friend of mine. He's an engineer, Stan, and he looked at it and he mentioned to me it's better off to go ahead and take all the sheetrock, the old one, off and go ahead to replace, the new sheetrock with 2 hours fire prevention. However, we were taking all these sheetrock down. I found out there is some, structures need to be done to the building. According, I found out later on, because of the termites had probably ate some of the wood on probably the west side of the building. I had replaced some of these wood. However, I do have some engineering degree on this field, and I couldn't add a sister to support that beam. That's why I decided to go ahead and put the new beam next to the old one. However, we were just been working on it, and we got violated. The city had inspected the building. However, since they issued that violation to stop work on the building, I completely stopped working on this building. However, I comply with John, and we hired a new contractor to go ahead and to finish the job.
Okay. Have permits been pulled yet, or in the process of being pulled?
Yeah, the permit has been pulled.
Okay. All righty. Any questions from members of the board? Okay, Mr. Saeed, so you acknowledge that at the time of notice, the violation did exist. You were doing work without the permit? Okay. And next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th to bring the property into compliance for return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Heim, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion?
Yes. This is case number 26.
Yes, sir.
Working without permits. Just testified that he has permits, so what is...
At the time
applied for them.
At the time
of
notice,
when
he didn't
are we
have
coming
a permit.
Back? He's going to come back and say he has permits again?
The permit is not just a permit. It's permit requires a permit plus an inspection approval.
Okay, so you want a permit plus an inspection report.
Inspection approval is done, then the case is closed.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Permit doesn't just mean permit, physically getting the document. It also means inspection approval.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I think I have a question. Are the permits pulled?
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. He contacted me. We went over and assessed the site, and he's got quite a bit of work needs to be done there. It took us a little while. I have a electrical and plumbing permit as well as the building permit. He had a lot of termite damage. We're replacing the joists. We've got a beam to replace and some other stuff. I'm thinking that this 6th is not going to be ample time in order to get all the work completed if they want a final permit. If we could get additional time, I think that would be good.
Well, Mr. Stinson, you know, that's something you can request at any point in time, but it's...
Correct. Ultimately, this violation was working without permits.
Right.
If he obtains them, then he will be in compliance.
Okay.
So what are we are we actually going to vote on?
I don't know what you're going to vote on.
He gets 6 months, doesn't he, when he gets a permit?
Right. The permit is pulled and given 6 months.
Right. Right.
The violation here is at the time that the inspector went out to conduct the inspection, they were performing work to the building without a permit.
Right.
So what we want is for them to obtain all the necessary permits that they need to obtain in order to come into compliance, and then once the work is completed, then that's a totally different
right. Issue. Okay.
So we can give him, if you want to give him more time, it's not a problem, because he has 6 months anyway.
Right.
Finished the
work. I mean, it's not going to come back to us unless it didn't have permits. That's what they're here for.
Or else they just abandon the work and would come back to us. They don't follow up on the permit.
Yeah. Just a little different opinion, at least for staff, what Charlie's saying is that the only thing the staff is asking for is for them to obtain the permits.
Right.
Now, I don't know if the staff, I see showing them his permits right now, I don't know if that's enough to satisfy staff, knowing that maybe it is still necessary for them to go and see exactly what they're doing to satisfy them that the permits are adequate. I don't know. That's something that we'll have to ask the extension, but that's really the question of that's where the staff's position is,
gotcha.
Which would mean that by next cutoff, we should be able to confirm if he's satisfied with the permits to confirm that yes, the permit's necessary.
Okay. Which leaves us at the motion that's on the floor. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty. Thank you all. Case number CB021323, Countrywide Home Loans, Incorporated, property located at 1030 Cadillac Drive. Is respondent present? Seeing none, what can you tell us, Mr. Stinson?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Officer, employed at the city. Qualifications are on file. This is case number CB021323. City of Daytona Beach versus Countrywide Home Loans, Inc., with a registered agent of CT Corporation Systems. Property address is 1030 Cadillac Drive. Parcel ID is 521103000190. We're here to discuss violations of outside storage of junk and debris. Broken windows, exterior surfaces, exterior doors, and an unsecure property. As of today, the property has been secured by the city, and all other violations still exist. So the only thing that has been changed or corrected is the securing of the property, which was done by us.
Which was an incurring of a bill by the city.
Yes.
All righty, Chair will entertain a motion, find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until next cutoff of March 6th to bring the property in compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB021324, property located at 1222 Essex Road. Is the respondent present? Seeing none, what can you tell us, Mr. Stinson?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number CB021324, Corey L. and Cynthia McGuire Moore. Property address is 1222 Essex Road. We're here to discuss The violations of parking in the yard, outside storage, junk vehicles, and dilapidated roof. As of yesterday, there has been absolutely no change in the condition of the property. I've had no contact with the property owners. In fact, I had to actually post the notice of violation and believe the notice of hearing. Do we have to post that? I don't think so. We just had to post a notice of violation. But since then, there's been no contact with the property owner. And no change in condition on the property. The city is saying non-compliance and compliance by the next cutoff.
All righty.
Is the property occupied?
I'm sorry?
Is the property occupied?
Yes, sir, it is.
All righty.
Just a little clarification. We do have signed a green card.
Oh, absolutely.
January 25th from Moore.
That's correct. That would be your notice of hearing. However, I have the return notice of violation right here.
Okay. All righty. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 26 has been disposed of. Case number 27 is in compliance as of January 30th, 2013. And let me run through our agenda real quick, I think. That concludes our agenda. We are now at the end of our meeting at this time. Any miscellaneous business?
I just want to say something. There are sometimes in front of us these kinds of cases, like the pool case or a case where there's an electrical wire that's open. Those cases are kind of got to treat them a little bit differently. In those cases, we give the make sure that the person in front of us is the proper person, which is fine. Make sure that we find that there is a violation, which is fine. At that point, we don't negotiate. We at that point, give them as little amount of time that we can to solve the problem, whatever the staff recommends, or the little amount of time we can resolve the problem. If they don't resolve the problem, then the next step would be to enter a fine, whatever fine we feel is appropriate, or we can ask the city. There is a provision in the statute that allows us to request the city commission to fix the problem and to lien the property for that fixing of the problem. It's up to the commission. The commission can do it if they want to. They don't have to if they don't want to. Some cities, especially with pools, I know it's like with Volusia County, they do it. They go ahead and they go right to the county council. County council agrees to do it. They have a fund set aside, and they just secure the pool. So those kinds of cases, and we don't have too many of those kinds. It's not like, for example, the woman with the leaky roof where nobody lives there. It's the kind of case where possibly somebody could get killed.
Right.
That's what we do. There's no negotiating.
Right.
No giving people more time because they go to school. And, and in all due respect to the gentleman, we don't. That's our job. Mm-hmm. And we don't tell them how to fix the problem. Yeah. We just go ahead and say, you got to give them. We got to give them a little. We have to, unfortunately, give them a little bit amount of time to cure. But
how
that's
much
it.
Time?
As little as possible.
What?
As little as
that,
possible.
Could that have been 10 days?
Could it have been
24 hours?
It can be. It can be 10 days. It can be less than a reasonable time.
We reason out things, but obviously, ultimately, the board. You're the guys that. Get to push the envelope even more, and our answer has to be that whether or not we believe it's reasonable. And Patrick just said, if you said 20, well, we want 24 hours, then we'd have to advise the board that we don't think it was reasonable, because we don't want to create a unreasonable solution, because then it would be something that won't survive.
Yeah, the next cutoff is March 1st, which is 14 days from now. Mm-hmm. That's